This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to The Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, 5 pounds fatter thanks to Passover. It is Vince Quinn with you on CBS Sports Radio. Vince Quinn, that doesn't sound exactly Jewish. It's not. My girlfriend is. But yes, I'm very fat. I'm going to struggle to stay awake. But we're going to have a good time tonight. And so I hope you're ready to talk about just a lot of different stuff here, because you've got the NBA trade deadline, which apparently was the busiest trade deadline in 35 years? Really? There was a lot of stuff going on, but you just... Wow, busiest trade deadline in 35 years. A lot of things to get into there. James Harden claiming himself the MVP. We've got some Lakers updates. There's a lot of things all over the place here. But let's start with the NFL. And by the way, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So, a lot of trades at the top of the NFL draft, which was like, really? You know, that was my first reaction. I'm reading about this because for me, you know, I'm a Philly guy. So my Twitter feed, as much as I get stuff from all over the place, it leans a little bit towards the Philadelphia crowd. I see the Eagles make a trade. I go, really? Like, it's we're a month away from the draft. They're trading the sixth pick already? It just seems like a weird thing to do. But there was a large domino effect that involved the Eagles trading out of six, the Dolphins trading back from three, the 49ers trading up to three, the Dolphins trading back up with the Eagles to get that sixth spot. So there was a lot of things going on here, and we'll get to all of it, because again, it's a lot with those three moves all happening a month away. But the biggest thing about all of this is why? Why did this happen, right? Why did you have three teams trading already? Why is it happening now? Well, here's why. It seems abundantly clear to me, and Graceffo, you can check me on this, but it seems abundantly clear to me. Also, hi, Graceffo.
Hi, Vince. How are you?
There you go. So, Jets are drafting Zach Wilson, right? Like, that's happening.
Seems that way, right?
Right.
If you were playing poker, you tipped your hand a little bit, right?
I would say so. So, first off, how do you feel?
I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Really?
To be honest with you.
I love it.
Sure. I mean, I loved watching him fade away with no defenders except air
in a pro day throw
and shorts, throwing at 70. That was great. I'm never going to see that in real life.
No.
But it was cool. It was like to
it
know
was
that,
cool.
To know that he can do it is, wow, that guy can do that. But I'm never going to see it in real life.
You won't see. You can't see it reliably. That's the thing.
If I'm seeing that in real life, there's probably a problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a problem and there's not a problem, right? Because, for example, Russell Wilson's made throws like that. Mahomes has done it. Rodgers has done that. Now, I know we're talking about ridiculously talented
right,
Hall of Fame
again,
guys.
Let's not put him in the sentence of these guys yet.
No, but those guys have made plays like that in bad situations, and it has been a good result. You know what I mean? So.
Sure.
It's, you know, it's nice to see you can get out of a sticky situation like that.
Well, I think the Eagles kind of tipped everybody off more than anyone, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, because here's the thing. The Eagles have a connection to the Jets front office. So Joe Douglas used to be in Philly. Now he's running the Jets. And for the Eagles, apparently, because this all came out at basically the same exact time, was the Eagles wanted to go up to number two. They wanted
while Zach Wilson was throwing the fadeaway throw.
Yeah, they saw that immediately. They're like, all right, get me Joe Douglas on the phone. God, I need to talk to him right now. So they called Joe Douglas. They're like, hey, Joe, buddy, how's it going? See that pro day with Zach Wilson? Oh, that's a shame. I'm sad to hear that you saw it. So you're not going to let us trade up for him, are you? And then Joe Douglas was like, no, there's no way in hell I'm going to do that. And they hung up the phone. So, yeah, the Eagles basically spill the beans because they want to move up to two and get Wilson, and the Jets are not interested. And if those teams are going to work out a deal, like, that makes a lot of sense. So now you get to the point where, okay, Zach Wilson is probably very extremely likely going to be a New York Jet. Yeah, I got to tell you, Chris, as much as you're nervous about it, like, or at least undecided about it, I really do love it. The kid can play. I mean, he just looks like a guy that can make all of the throws that you want to see in a professional game. He's got the legs to go with it. As far as I know, the injury history is good. The only things I've heard is like, well, his uncle's rich, so maybe he's spoiled, which is like a dumb thing to say because you can have super rich uncles and like they have nothing to do with you. You can have poor as bleep uncles and they have nothing to do with you. So I don't know why it matters. I don't know if that actually says anything
well,
about
the
kid.
These are the character assassinations that you hear during the draft every year, right?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Josh Rosen had a hot tub in his dorm room, so automatically he couldn't lead people.
If anything, that sounds inspiring to me. Of like, this guy had the gall, the audacity to install a hot tub in his dorm room. That's like Van Wilder stuff. You know what I mean? Like, that's legendary, if you ask me. I like that.
So Zach Wilson's uncle owns JetBlue, so automatically he can't lead anyone except to on a plane.
Yeah, apparently not. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't know if there's any legitimate stuff to say about him as a guy. He looks like he makes all the throws. If on the Jets, I mean, do I still think Darnold can be something in the NFL? Like, yeah, I think it could be something. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But honestly, if Wilson's sitting there too, and you got number two, I mean, who else do you get?
No, I think the argument could be made for a Fields or a Trey Lance or someone of that caliber.
Would you want one of those guys instead?
I really don't know what I want. I would have preferred the Jets have just lost two more games.
So well, that would be...
That's really what I would have preferred. Like, I would prefer a time machine.
Yeah.
As you know.
No, I hear that. And by the way, let's talk about tanking games for a second here, because with all these deals going down, let's note that the Eagles are doing this at number six. They traded down from 6 to 12. So now what did they net from that? Because I've got the notes around. There's so much dealing that went on in all of this. Okay, so they got a fourth-round pick this year, and they got a 2021 first-round pick from the Dolphins next year. They got that because they tanked in Week 17. That is 100% the reason why. So tanking matters, okay? Tanking is relevant for them to throw away a game in Week 17. This is why you do it. So same thing you're saying right now. It's yeah, you want to lose those games, but hey, if you're at two and you don't get Trevor Lawrence, I got to tell you, Zach Wilson is a fine
it's
prize.
It's a nice consolation prize, as people were saying yesterday, or not yesterday, the day of the actual pro day. So one person said on NFL Network, it's a nice consolation prize. Now, the only thing that scares me is there are no Coastal Carolinas, there are no Western Kentuckys, there are no, you know, the hodgepodge schedule they played this year. Those teams in the NFL, they're not there.
Well, they and typically they've been the Jets. So
some of the windows, some of the windows he was throwing to in the bowl game against UCF, they're not going to be there at the NFL level.
Yeah.
So these are things that scare you. But makeup of the kid, those that's for general managers and coaches to figure out and scouts. That's for them to figure out. So, I mean, based on everything I saw yesterday, which really is nothing at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, for you to, like, have a bad pro day, you probably have to throw up on yourself on the field, and he didn't do that. And at the end of the day, it's probably more about shaking hands and meeting people face-to-face, which is what was accomplished, and, you know, obviously everything came out on the good end.
Yeah, so there you go. Like, now all these deals happen because Zach Wilson, clearly, he's passed the test with what the Jets wanted to see with the tape. Pro day looks good. They probably shook his hand and they were like, all right, yeah, whatever. It doesn't seem like some uncle's spoiled rich nephew to me. I don't know. But they see that whole thing and they go, yeah, let's make this, like, we're not making any deals. We're locking in on this kid. And that's that. So Zach Wilson is going to be your quarterback at number two. But again, that gets us back to the trade. Because with Lawrence one and Zach Wilson two, well, the 49ers just traded up to three. So, who is now essentially the first pick in the draft? Who is the next guy that's going to get taken with these other two players already off the board? Who's it going to be? And for San Francisco, I mean, let's be honest here. Let's just throw all the other stuff out the window. They're getting a quarterback, right? Like, there's no, oh, well, maybe they're trading up for Penei Sewell. Yeah, they're trading up from 12 to 3 and giving up all these first-round picks to get the offensive lineman. No, like there's no universe where I could see them not drafting a quarterback. It'd be insane. Look at the quarterbacks in this draft. I mean, as Graceffo was just mentioning, like Trey Lance and Justin Fields. Mac Jones is in this conversation, which I think is really interesting. I did not expect, like, Mac Jones was one of those things where when you bring it up with San Francisco, I do see it. But I didn't expect it at three, and it does feel a little weird if he's the guy at three. Seems a little aggressive to go and give up what San Francisco did, which, let's see here. So 12th pick in the draft, yes, that's obvious. They're moving up from 12 to three. You're giving up your first rounder in 2022, your first rounder in 2023. You're giving up a third round pick next year. So multiple drafts, a lot of top picks. You're doing that to move up to number three. Again, you're not doing this for a wide receiver. It's just dumb. You know, there's great wide receivers in free agency every single year now, just about, if not multiple. So you don't do it. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't see the 49ers doing that. So looking at the quarterback spot here, do you think Mac Jones is the guy? Like, I'll say this. I don't think Mac Jones is the best player there. I don't believe that at all. But he feels 49ers-y. You know what I mean, Graceffo? Like, does that make any sense? It just feels like that's a guy that Shanahan would pick.
Well, I mean, Kyle Shanahan thinks he can have success with any quarterback. So, I mean, who am I to say that he's wrong? I mean, Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard, they were great. But, like, you know, not to poke fun. But the weird thing is that Mac Jones came out of pretty much nowhere today, where everything on social media and every verified NFL person is basically saying, you know, there's a real chance that Mac Jones is the pick. And one of these guys, Chris Sims, who is so tight with Kyle Shanahan, they have matching tattoos.
What? Matching tattoos?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what the tattoo is?
I don't know what they are.
Oh, man, that's interesting, though.
They have matching tattoos, and Chris Sims is one of these guys banging the drum that Mac Jones is going to be the third pick in the draft. Now, if I had told you a month ago, 6 weeks ago, that Mac Jones was going to be the third pick in the draft, I think everyone would have just, you know, I don't know if laughter is the right word, or they would have stunned or confused. But, I mean, clearly, you know, Alabama quarterbacks have brought out the best in everyone. When you get to play with the best wide receivers and the best offensive line and the best running back, I mean, what could go wrong?
Yeah, I mean, Tua has been great so far. Jalen Hurts, they love him. I mean, he is the unquestioned guy every day. They just keep saying, reminding people again and again that they love Jalen Hurts. Yeah, so Alabama quarterbacks, not exactly the greatest run recently. And so you look at it and you go, yeah, like Mac Jones, that's the thing. Shanahan likes the idea of on some lack of comparison, a Jared Goff. You know, it's what he was doing with L.A. It's, hey, let's get a guy that runs the system. He's an accurate passer, and he's able to process stuff, and that's all we want. They don't care about the legs, really. It doesn't matter. It's just get me a guy that can make the throws that I want. We're going to hand off the ball to running backs all the time, and that's the offense. Now, it's kind of silly to do that when Trey Lance is better. I mean, he's just a better talent. And you look at Justin Fields, and he's a better talent. So I look at those guys, and it feels weird that Mac Jones is in the conversation, but you're right. Like that, if Chris Sims is coming out and saying it as a guy with matching tattoos, which I love, I can't get enough of that. Matching tattoos. So for them to be in that spot where they've got that kind of relationship and he's floating it, it does mean something, and it feels right. You can talk yourself into the 49ers doing it. It's just, it's weird that they're trading up so aggressively this early to do it. You know, like, did they have to trade up to 3 and give up everything that they did? Do they like Mac Jones that much that they needed that level of security? It just seems a little aggressive.
Well, it tells you they're desperate for an upgrade at the quarterback position. Now, whether or not it's a real upgrade at the quarterback position, time's going to tell. But they obviously don't want to pay Jimmy Garoppolo the 25 plus million bucks that he has coming to him. That's their thing to take care of. I don't know who's going to take that off their hands, but it's very clear that they are through with Jimmy G, at least for, going forward.
Yeah.
Their quote was very nice. It was, we expect Jimmy to be around this year. And that was the end of the quote. So I wouldn't go buying property anywhere in Santa Clara if I were Jimmy G at the moment. So, I mean, you know, the Niners clearly think that anyone can be successful in their system. And everyone who runs the Shanahan system thinks the same thing. So, if they want to trade up into the top 3 for a quarterback, which we know is the move, it's not a wide receiver, it's not an offensive lineman, it's not that. If they want to do that, then, you know, we kind of have to take them at their face value.
Yeah. No, because that's who they are, and all the trends lead to this. And obviously, and this is where, you know, it's not exactly sexy and fun, but when you're looking at the time frame of all of this, in the moment, a Mac Jones pick will get crushed. It will get crushed. I mean, if they're drafting him over Trey Lance and Justin Fields, people are going to throw a fit. They're going to lose their minds. And when you see that in the moment, yeah, it's easy to do it. I just told you, I think Lance is a better prospect. I think Fields is a better prospect. There is a clear gap between those two guys and Mac Jones. But, and this is the thing that, again, is not all that exciting, but you got to be real about it. If they are overpaying in the moment right now to get Mac Jones, but he ends up being a good quarterback for them, and they are deep in the playoffs every year, and he's doing the Shanahan system things, and he's running that offense well, then you know what? It really doesn't matter. You know, you get your quarterback. And that's the thing that everybody all the time, that's all you ever care about, right? Who cares? Like, if Mitch Trubisky had worked, nobody would care. But that's the sword that you deal with, is when you trade up like that and it doesn't work, you get killed. But if you trade up and it works, nobody cares. Nobody gets upset about it. You found the quarterback, so be it. That's the price you paid. So it's just a question of whether or not you believe he is the best guy right now and whether or not you think it's actually going to work if they go with Mac Jones. But that's what it seems obviously clear that this is where it's going to be going. You got Trevor Lawrence at 1, Zach Wilson at 2, and now it's starting to leak out and starting to feel like Mac Jones at 3. So if you want to get in and talk about it, 855-212-4227, that's how you join the show. I'm Vince Quinn with you here on CBS Sports Radio, and you can always join the show on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn. Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, all over the place, at It's Vince Quinn. And when we come back, let's talk about the displaced quarterbacks a little bit more. Let's get into Garoppolo. What are his options? Let's talk about Sam Darnold and what the deal is going to be with him. That's all coming up next. Keep it right here.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Vince Quinn with you on CBS Sports Radio, and let me tell you something. I'm never going to give you up. Okay, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to sing the whole song. Part of me wants to. So, let's get in a little bit to somebody that is actually going to be deserted. They're going to turn around and desert him. How about that? Sam Darnold, left in the dust. Jimmy Garoppolo, left in the dust. They are going to have to say goodbye. And for both these teams, it makes sense, right? For San Francisco, you rode the Jimmy Garoppolo train for a couple of years. You gave it a go. You're not paying him like the highest paid quarterback in the league. The deal was okay. And you're at a stage now where you can cut him, and they can save over $23 million by cutting Jimmy Garoppolo, which seems pretty obvious at this point, right? You have no reason to keep him around for that kind of cash. Fitz, they need a veteran backup. I mean, okay. You got Beathard and Mullins. They've been in the league for at least, I know Beathard's been in the league for a couple of years. Beathard's been in the league for like 3 years, I want to say. But then Mullins is pretty new. But whatever. You've got the backups in there. They know the system. And that's all that matters. Oh, Beathard's gone. That's right. There's too many moves, man. It's too hard to keep up with all this. But who cares, though? Like, if you've got the young guy in there, it's Shanahan's system. You're running the ball 35 times a game. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. So they can get by without having Jimmy Garoppolo. And they definitely can't afford to pay him that kind of money to be a backup. It's not worth it. So Garoppolo is going to be gone. Is somebody willing to trade for him? I mean, you can squint a little bit and go, okay, well, Denver, New England, right? They've got Cam. Everything in that deal is basically incentives. Can you, like, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo? I don't see them trading for Jimmy Garoppolo. And so there's a possibility that he's gone and he ends up as a backup somewhere, which is interesting. Again, is it, you know, because you look around the league, there's only a couple of teams that after the draft, because at this point, Jacksonville's going to draft Lawrence. Wilson is going to go to the Jets. And now you're looking at probably Mac Jones all of a sudden going to the 49ers. So there's just not many places where you can add a quarterback, where you need a quarterback, especially now the free agency's been going for a little bit. Like the Chicago Bears, could you go and add Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, yeah, but like, what are you doing? You know, you've got Nick Foles there. You got Andy Dalton there. You just signed him. So is Jimmy Garoppolo going to Chicago? They need a quarterback. Like, no, that's not going to happen. Does he go to Houston because of the Deshaun Watson stuff, which we'll talk about in a little bit later in the show? No, probably not. They just signed Tyrod Taylor. So what are they going to do with Jimmy Garoppolo? What's the point? You know? So figuring out the fit for these guys is going to be a weird thing. Darnold, and this is an interesting question, is who would you rather have? Would you rather have Darnold, who's now clearly available, as they go with Wilson at two? Or would you rather have Garoppolo as they, with San Francisco, trade up the three? Now, to me, it's really not even a question. I'd have Darnold. I would much rather go with Sam Darnold. If I'm a team that is considering bringing in a guy to compete, right? If that is Denver, if that is New England, I doubt Miami is going to do this because they just traded back and they drafted Tua so high. So I don't think they're going to want to go through that carousel again. But if you want to squint and force them in there, whatever. If I had to choose one of those two, you go with Darnold. Darnold has some level of potential. I don't know what that is. It's clearly not number three pick in the draft. He's been a disappointment in that regard, but if he has a decent team around him, if he's got a coaching staff around him, maybe. Maybe he could be something. Maybe he could be something a little bit better than what you think he is right now. I still believe in the general talent of Sam Darnold. But for Garoppolo, you know exactly what he is, and he's just not a guy that's highly valuable. He's a worthwhile backup, and maybe he's the next guy in the cycle of bridge quarterbacks, right? As Alex Smith and his age, he's been bouncing around the league and he fills in for a couple of games here and there. And Ryan Fitzpatrick's been doing it. Like, it just feels like Garoppolo is the next guy in that stretch. He's the next guy to be like, hey, well, I'm here for 6 weeks as the starter. And then week seven comes and here's the kid. You know, that's probably the career that he's looking at this stage. So if I had to pick one of the two, with both of them being available, I mean, you go Darnold. And for me, it's really easy. Now, I asked the question on Twitter, and right now it's fairly close. 55% would rather have Darnold. Right now, 45% would go with Garoppolo. So if you want to get in and talk about that, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Will in Atlanta. Will, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, man, I'm loving this talk. I'm really loving this talk. The 49ers, to be honest with you, it's an interesting pick. On number three, I'm going to be honest with you, Matt Jones is not going to be that's their choice. I know the political sports world like it because of Alabama and the glam of Alabama. But Matt Jones is not going to be their choice. If you're going to draft that high, number three, you got to go with Trey Lance or Justin Fields. That's the bottom line.
I would hope. And that's what they should do, but I don't know. Exactly. I don't know.
Exactly. I know the political, you know how it goes. The political correct, they want Matt Jones. Is one thing is not going to be a top three. Matt Jones is maybe the best at best, maybe the top, maybe the bottom 15 to 20.
That's where he should be. Yeah.
He's not a top draft pick. They're not going to go up and trade up for no Matt Jones. He'd be lucky to even make it into the last part of the first round. Matt Jones is honestly a second round pick. So if we're going to be nice and be politically correct, mm-hmm. that's news media hyper. But we all know for number three, it's going to be the Justin Fields or it's going to be Trey Lance. And to me, to be honest, out of the two, Trey Lance is probably the best fit for the 49ers offense.
And that's where I'm at, too. I really like Trey Lance, and something about him in San Francisco I really think can work. But, again, it's just
From allegedly, a lot of people, from a sports view, they know it's Trey. They're not going to trade up. They love Trey Lance. But you can't let the other teams know that.
Well, that's fair. Well, now San Francisco can do pretty much whatever they want at this point. I mean, if Jacksonville's locked in at one and they're not moving on Lawrence, which they won't, and now the Jets are locked in at two and they're not going to move on Wilson, then you can basically, Kyle Shanahan could come on this show and be like, Vince, you're right, we're drafting Mac Jones, I'll see you later. Right. And then, which would be great for me, I could use that boost, but it wouldn't change anything for him. It wouldn't change anything.
It's a cover call. And the media wants to make it Mac Jones, because of the hype. But to be honest with you, because of Trey Lance fit, that's more like I see Trey Lance as in that draft where they had Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. So if you're looking at that draft class, that's a similar pick to how trading up like what
Trubisky
did with Kansas City. The trade up to get Pat Mahomes.
I thought you were going with the Bears trade up to number two to get Trubisky. Will, I appreciate it, man. Yeah, I got to run.
Matt Jones is really Trubisky.
Yeah, he is. Well, I'm sorry. I gotta hit the break. But, yeah, Mac Jones, he's already gone from being the number three pick in the draft to Mitch Trubisky. It's been a hell of a 30 minutes for Mac Jones here on the Vince Coyne Show. So, anyway, 855-212-4227. That's how you get in. I have a theory. I have a dream with Jimmy Garoppolo that I want to talk about. On the other side, also, Miami made two deals here. They traded with San Francisco and they traded with the Eagles. What does this mean for them? Like, what did they actually accomplish in those two deals?
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, some major things to get into in the NBA in just a minute. But first, there's a boat stuck in the Suez Canal. It's a giant boat, and it's just clogging the whole damn thing up. It's, on some level, absolutely remarkable. I mean, this is a story that has captivated the globe, and I got to tell you, I know there's a lot of problems with it, but also, it's hilarious. It's really funny. I mean, you've got a guy that's sitting on a boat, okay? You're driving the biggest, most monstrous boat you can possibly imagine. And as you're driving that boat, with all of this money from goods that are on this boat, and you've got all this responsibility, and you're ramming into the shore. I mean, there's a guy that has been sitting on this boat for like a week now, just knowing that he's going to get fired. If the whole thing is sitting there, or if he's been fired, it's just every day, like every news story that he goes to, every article he reads, is just this boat just sitting there, driven into the shore. That's a hell of a screw up. That's
true
a
story?
It's too true of a story. It's a crazy story. Grisefo, I'm surprised you had said you didn't even hear about this story all week. You hadn't seen this.
I got to be honest with you, I did not.
That's amazing.
I don't know what I was doing or how out of it I was, but I didn't see it.
They estimated that like 10% of the global trade goes through the Suez Canal, and these people ran the boat ashore and blocked the canal.
Outrageous!
It is. But here's the thing.
Who cares? Not me.
No. Oh, you'll care about this because this makes the story amazing. This takes it from a total catastrophe to just absolutely hysterical. So there's a GPS tracker on the freighter. And so it's following this ship and charting its path digitally as it goes all the way across the ocean and around the globe. And somewhere in the middle of the ocean, the people driving this boat stuck in the Suez Canal decided that they would replicate a drawing of a certain part of the male anatomy in the middle of the ocean.
What?
As they spent all of this time wasted, who knows how long, to get a boat as big as that and circle around and be like, all right, there's the left one. There's the right one. All right, let's circle around. Yeah, let's get the ding-a-ling. And here you go. And they crafted the whole thing in the middle of the ocean, which they thought was only for themselves. I guarantee you, they're just like, wow, nobody's keeping track of us. We're a boat in the middle of the ocean. Who cares? As long as we show up on time, we're ahead of schedule. So let's do what we do. And so they go and draw this thing. And then, you know, they run ashore. Like, how do you ever get a job again when you screw up on that kind of level? That's an impressive, like, there are screw-ups at work. You mess things up, but messing up on that level is really bad. You know, like, here's the worst thing that I've done. One of the worst things. Technically speaking.
Oh, tremendous pipe.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I have that, but I'd like to argue it. So, for me, here was a major screw-up that I had at work. Was one, I almost got fired because I let a certain F-bomb go across the airwaves when I was a producer. So I missed it, and it was broadcasted at my job, my first radio job, and I was going to get fired, and somebody vouched for me, and they were like, no, this guy's okay, like, don't fire him, please. And I was lucky enough to keep my job. So I found out about that after the fact that I was about to get fired. I found out like 6 months later, but yeah, I almost got fired, and I probably would not be here if that were the case. You might see that as a good thing or a bad thing. That's up to you. But looking at that, I had another moment where we did all these broadcasts. I would do all these baseball games. I was doing Phillies games, being in Philly. And we would have it all syndicated. So the same way with this show right now. It's on all these different stations all over the place. And you might have somebody sitting at a board at a radio station that you're in right now and making sure that you can hear the show. You can hear me live. Other places are automated. There's nobody in the building. And you need to make sure that if you're the main person sending out that signal to all of those stations, that you're sending it in the right channels. And there were times where I just wasn't broadcasting the game to all of these stations, which I don't know because I can hear the game, right? Like, I'm sitting in the booth where the game is being broadcast from. So I'm connected to the broadcasters in the booth. I'm sitting in the main studio. I can hear it. But I can't hear that some station in the middle of PA that has nobody there, it's on autopilot, it's just dead air for 3.5 hours. So I got in trouble a couple of times for that. I got chewed out a couple of times. Those are generally the biggest mistakes that I've made at work. But, man, making a mistake like that is just unfathomable. Like,
hardest, longest.
I don't know if I could take a job like that. I've had times where when I would be looking at different things, like maybe I'll apply to this, maybe I'll apply to that. Like, I would think of the worst case scenario of what that job could be, and I'd go, you know, I'm not doing it. I don't want to make these mistakes. Like, on a small level, I never wanted to be a waiter. I just never wanted to do it because I knew I'd forget orders all the time. Hey, yeah, by the way, can you just get, I dropped my fork. Can you get me a new fork? Yeah, sure. And then like 8 hours later, they're like, hey, pal, where's my fork? You know, I couldn't do it.
Big fat failure.
Yeah, I would be. As a waiter, I couldn't do it. I know I'd be bad at the job. So I didn't do that. But yeah, like, you think about the mistakes that you make at work and you see something on that level, you go, holy crap, like, this guy. Whoever was driving that boat, whoever was on that crew, just what a catastrophic mistake that was at your job, you know? Graceffo, I'm going to put you on the spot here. You ever had any notable screw-ups at work? Any job?
Oh, definitely, but I can't think of one that stands out over all of them.
Yeah, because for me, like, I had generally a lot of smaller jobs. You know, I used to be a classroom tutor when I was in college, so I worked with, like, third and fourth grade kids, helping them just learn math and science and whatever, which was fun. I had a great time with that job, but there weren't really major screw-ups when I was doing that. You
I'll
know?
Tell you one I made tonight.
Oh, okay, yeah. What happened? What happened tonight?
Getting ready to hit Jody Max Open, and then I hit the update bed instead of the open. Oh. So I had to cover myself, and the only person who knew that it happened was me.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's
me
good.
Me and Jody Mack.
That's good.
And Jody forgot about it.
And Jody wouldn't care.
And he's asleep. Yeah, he forgot about it.
Jody's been in the radio business for a long time where he's had people screw up, including me as a producer for his shows. I screwed up a bunch of times as a producer. I was a bad producer. I'll admit it. Like, I was not good at that job because you have to be paying attention to the show all the time. You know, the way you screen calls, there's a certain way to do it.
Can just yell at people like I do.
Yeah, you yell at people a lot, which is actually quite entertaining. Because I'll be sitting here, I'm doing the show, I'm talking about whatever. I'm like, well, yeah, there was a trade with the Dolphins or whatever. And you're sitting there just screaming at someone. And I don't know what you're saying or what you're arguing about, but I could just see you gesturing very angrily over the phone.
It's probably a good thing that you don't know.
On some level, it is. I think it is a good thing. But, yeah, like, I would screw up all the time when I was producing Jody. Just small things, right? I would fire off a break when I wasn't supposed to, or, like, whatever. I'd forget a guest was supposed to be on, and I wouldn't call them. It'd be 5 minutes into the segment, like, what happened to the guest? I'd be like, oh, crap. So, yeah, I screwed up at work plenty of times, and I know I can't top the Suez Canal, but if you have any screw-ups at work that you want to share, that you can share, 855-212-4227. Happy to hear them. I always think these are fun stories. 855-212-4227 is how you join the show. You can also just hit me up on Twitter, at It's Vince Quinn, and that's all one word, at It's Vince Quinn. So let's get into the NBA here, where you get really bad news with the Lakers, okay? Because they're hanging on for dear life right now. It is not a good situation for them. AD's been out for quite some time. He's been out for a couple of weeks. I believe their record without him is 7-10. So, not great. Not great. And by the way, since then, LeBron James got hurt. So, when you've got your two star players and then just a bunch of other guys, like, is the roster the worst thing ever? No, but they're nothing without those two guys, and we all know it. So, how soon do they get back? How soon do we see him? Well, it's going to be a while. Anthony Davis, who initially was on some sort of like 4-week plan, that was their rough timeline. Well, Frank Vogel just commented on Anthony Davis and basically said he's a while away or a ways away. So it doesn't sound like the 4-week plan is exactly on schedule. I think otherwise they would love to say that, right? If you're Frank Vogel and the team, it's like, wow, you're without both of your star players. You're really close to the 6th seed, 7th seed, 8th seed in the West. So when are things getting better, coach? You'd love to be like, yes, let me tell you, things will actually get better much sooner. Anthony Davis will be back as we scheduled him to be, and everything's going to be fine. So you don't want to say, oh, well, he's a ways away. So he's a ways away. So that's not good. That rehab is not going the way they thought it would, and so Anthony Davis is a little bit behind. But now you also get the news where LeBron James was out indefinitely. Now we're hearing 3 to 5 weeks. Who knows what's going to happen with the Lakers? Who knows where all of that is going to go? And here's the thing. I love it. I think it's great for the NBA, honestly. It is far more interesting to have the Lakers free fall and wonder what's going to happen. Do you want the Lakers out of the playoffs? No. Like, that's bad for everybody. Even if you hate LeBron James, if you don't like LeBron at all, it's not just you're a Jordan guy. I don't know. You never forgave him for the decision. Whatever it is. You want him in the playoffs. You just do. It's more interesting. It's better basketball to watch. It's more to talk about. That's part of why we do this, right? That's literally all I do. That's my job. It's just fun to talk about this stuff. So it's more to talk about if LeBron is playing. You don't want him to miss the playoffs due to injury. That sucks. So for the Lakers to be free-falling a little bit, and you see the spot that they're in here, how fun is it if they're in a playoff or a play-in game? That's interesting to me. Lakers at a 9 seed as a play-in game. Now LeBron James, AD, however healthy they are, maybe Andre Drummond's added to the team. We'll see where that goes. They're the favorite right now. If they have to fight from being at the absolute edge, like, you know, falling off the cliff and their nails are dragging and they're like, please, Adam Silver, help us. Please pull us up. And then, like, they get in there as the ninth seed. That's fun. Now, what's the climb look like? It's another challenge for LeBron James, right? It's another reason to go, wow, this guy is amazing. Or if they don't win the finals, you go, whoa, he's an 8 seed. Jordan's never an 8 seed or some dumb argument. You know what I mean? Some sort of nonsense like that. But I would want to see him make that climb up. What does it look like? And by the way, then you don't want the 1 seed. Right? You don't want the 1 seed or you don't want the 2 seed if the Lakers are a 7, if the Lakers are an 8. I think that's interesting. You know, for me, it's exciting to see them in a free fall, to get to the brink of elimination, figure it out at the end, recover, and then go and make that climb. You don't see that in the NBA. You don't. I mean, there are teams that you think are talented that end up towards the back end, and they might get in as a 7 seed, but you don't really believe they're going to win the finals. I mean, how many people honestly believe a healthy Lakers team in the playoffs, regardless of where they are, that team is going to win the finals? Because let's talk about Andre Drummond for a second, right? How do you think he feels? He's signing with them. Like, that's the likelihood here. That's with AD out. That's with LeBron out. That's with the team free falling without them. That's with the West being as good as it is. The possibility that possibly, they don't make the playoffs. He can go anywhere. Any major contender, pretty much, is going to be interested in Andre Drummond. He can find his services on a title-contending team, an odds-on favorite. Right now, he's favored to go to L.A. What does that tell you? He's buying in. He believes that maybe he can help calm things down a little bit, stabilize things, steal a game or two that they wouldn't otherwise win. And now you're turning things around, and now you're keeping in the playoff hunt, and then LeBron's back, or AD's back, and you're rolling, and now they're charging through the playoffs. Like, that tells you something. So I think it's notable that Drummond's still interested in the Lakers when the situation looks like this. But anyway, if you want to get in, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket Ken.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. I always feel like somebody's watching me, and I have no privacy. Oh, I always feel like somebody's watching me. Tell me, is it just a dream? When I come home at night, I put the door real tight. You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And shout out to the board ops that run this show. Not just Mr. James Graceffo, but the people that do sit in studios and through the overnight, they listen to me. Although this is a morning show, so they sit there through the morning and they listen to this fine show. I've been getting some good interaction from those people on Twitter. And you can always reach out at It's Vince Quinn. That's all one word. At It's Vince Quinn. Let's talk about James Harden for a minute. Okay, here's the thing. James Harden throws out the idea that he's the MVP of the league. Now, Kevin Durant's been injured a lot. Kyrie Irving comes and goes. He apparently, Graceffo, you know about this more than me. Was it his birth? It was his birthday.
Yeah, Kyrie, you know, went with the old family issues, so I need to take a leave of absence route again. This time he told somebody, which was good. You know, he just didn't text a bunch of teammates. He actually told people who were in charge of the Nets and signed his paycheck, so that was a good start.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided to, you know, it just happened to be like the middle of the Portland, Utah road trip.
Tough stretch of games.
Right. West Coast. I mean, who wants to be in Utah for their birthday, especially when you can't really do anything? You know, it just so happened that Kyrie Irving's birthday fell on the road trip. So, personal reasons.
So, yeah.
Happy birthday,
there's
Kyrie.
There's some dot connecting that would suggest he just took off from the regular season for his birthday.
Because he just decided, man, this road trip isn't for me.
That's so funny. I mean,
and then they loop it out in Detroit. I mean, who wants to, you know, who wants to spend their birthday in Detroit when you can't do anything?
I'll say this, like, everybody has points where you're working on your birthday and you're like, man, I just don't want to be here. But being a superstar athlete in any sport and being like, yeah, it's my birthday, coach. That's such a tough sell. I love it.
Well, do you really think he went up to Nash and said, it's my birthday, I really don't feel like playing?
Maybe. I don't know. Does he lie to the team then? He just goes, hey, you know, I got somebody that's sick or whatever. Like, you got to come. You got to have a. I don't know if he needs to have a good reason or not. I mean, really? Could Kyrie
really
it's my birthday and I want to go?
He can do whatever he wants.
He probably can.
He runs the team.
Yeah.
He said, oh, I'm going to leave for 3 weeks, not tell anybody. And the Nets did nothing. So, like, what's the deterrent from him saying, oh, it's my birthday. I'll see you later. I'll be back in, you know, a week.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like
there
would be.
There's nothing stopping him.
So maybe he did.
Do whatever you want. I mean, you're running the team. They only care about you when you play in April and May and June anyway, so what's the point?
Yeah. So that's fun. But with those kinds of things happening with the Nets, James Harden throws out the idea that he's the MVP. I don't know if anybody's got the stomach to vote for him. That's the thing that I really strongly believe. I mean, you think of James Harden and what he's doing. And is he an MVP? Is he in the conversation? Yes. James Harden is in the MVP conversation every single year. He's still James Harden. He went to Brooklyn, and he's the same guy. Nothing changed. They deferred to him. He's controlling the ball. Everything's good. But how do you vote for him? How do you do it? When you look at the Rockets and the wreckage that has been left behind and the way that he did it, I mean, there was nothing professional or respectful about how that went down. There just wasn't. There are times where superstars leave and, like, yeah, there's some rumblings and that's naturally going to be the course of things. But little reports leaking out of, oh, this guy thinks this or that guy thinks that, the team feels this way, and just coming out and being like, yeah, I mean, I did what I had to do. And, hey, I'm going to go party in another city and do it maskless and be late, you know, for camp, which he did.
I did what I had to do, which included wearing a fat suit, and these other 14 guys are losers.
Yeah.
Like, real NBA play. DeMarcus Cousins is a loser, so I got to get out of here.
It's crazy.
Eric Gordon's a loser, so I got to go. Like, I mean, really, like, how could you respect anything? Like, anything that comes out of his mouth anymore after that? Like, how could you respect it? And if you're voting for him to win the Most Valuable Player Award, how could you?
Yeah. For what he did to Houston
alone.
When
he torpedoed everyone. Like, the poor guy Steven Silas looks like he's about to, like, you know, faint every time he has a press conference. You know, thankfully they won a couple of games lately.
Yeah, that was rough, man. I mean, he really almost broke down and cried at that presser, which I totally understand, by the way. I mean, you're losing game after game after game after game after game. This is your first coaching job ever as a head coach in the NBA.
And he probably won't get another one.
No, he won't.
Like, they have to improve vastly, and they have to hit on all these draft picks they're going to acquire. But,
and
you know,
who knows if he's even here
right.
for that next year.
So when they finish, you know, 15 and whatever, or 17 and whatever, he probably won't get another head coaching job again. Like, that's it. You're done.
Yeah. Unless he's like an assistant for a long time and there's a big gap in years and, oh, he's built up his reputation. And, you know, the first time he learned some things and now he's ready. But still, it is such a damaging thing for your reputation for the team to go the way that it has. He didn't sign up for this. He didn't. This is not the team that he signed up to coach. And so when all of that is involved, he can have all the numbers in the world, but I just don't know how you vote for James Harden. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how, and that's the other thing. I don't believe, because for how I feel about it is one thing, but I can't imagine anybody that writes for the NBA or covers the NBA and has a vote. I don't know how those people do it either. I can't imagine. How? Like, his numbers would have to be so ridiculously better than everybody else. I mean, it would have to be laughable. It can't even be, oh, well, you can, you know, if you can kind of sort of make a case for this guy. It has to be James Harden, 15 spots, and everybody else for him to actually win the award. He might get a couple of votes because some people go, you know, everything in Houston was bad, but he deserves it. And a couple of guys will be contrarian and let that go. But there is no chance that he's going to win the MVP. None. Zero. I just can't see it happening. No one's going to vote for him. It's a mess for the sport. So he can say it, but yeah, good luck with that.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Actually, it's a morning show, and yes, I am Vince Quinn with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, a couple of things regarding Al Horford. I want to get into some free agency stuff, but first, I think this is foremost on everybody's minds. We had some sad news today. Oral Roberts is out of the tournament. I know that bums a lot of people out. It was bittersweet. Oral Roberts, by the way, did have 69 points at one moment. So people got very excited about that. They ended up losing the game. They took a shot in the final seconds. Final score for Oral Roberts was, I believe, 70. So, again, disappointing, but hell of a run. And the memes were great. So you have all of that. But outside of Oral Roberts... And, you know,
talking about dingling.
Yeah, well, and to some degree, we have been tonight. The Suez Canal story, which is still so good. It's so good. I absolutely find that hysterical that they drove a boat into the middle of the ocean and were just like, yeah, let's make a dong. And they just drove in circles because of the GPS tracker. Oh, those guys got so fired. They got fired in the worst way. It's really great. So we've been talking about a lot of different stuff, but
you stupid idiots.
Yeah. Oh, and they certainly are. Let's talk about this Al Horford thing that just popped up because it's a little bit of a weird story. So Al Horford got an awful contract from the Philadelphia 76ers a year ago. Just god-awful. I mean, it was bad when they signed it, and I talked myself into it because I'm a Sixers guy. I was like, yeah, no, it's a couple of big guys. It'll be a big basketball team. It'll be fine. Who needs floor spacing and switchability? We're good. So the whole thing's a disaster. They send Al Horford when Daryl Morey comes in. They get Al Horford. They ship him out to Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City... They're just stockpiling draft picks. They have decided that they want every pick that's imaginable. They saw the Thanos story arc in the Marvel movies and said, we should do that. And so now they've got every draft pick that possibly exists. They have transcended space and time. And congratulations to the Oklahoma City Thunder. But the thing is, Al Horford's on the team, and he's an older guy, and he's not going to get any better. And he's not a star, and they want to lose games, and they want to play kids, and they want to see what all of that looks like. So the Thunder have told Al Horford to basically go home. They've got maybe 28 games left in the season, and they said, listen, dude, you're not playing. We are literally, I mean, think about this. This is where the NBA has gone. We saw this with Andre Drummond as it went up to the trade deadline. He spent about a month just sitting at home or sitting on the bench and knowing that he wasn't going to play, being in street clothes, and now he just got bought out. They just told Al Horford that our team is awful. We are bad. We want to be bad. So much so that we can't even consider the possibility that, oh my God, it's a Tuesday night on a back-to-back and we've got a couple of injuries. Let's put old Al into the game for 15 minutes a night. You know, they can't even consider the possibility. You know, hey, we're playing a close game against a quality team. We're young, upstart, scrappy kids. We're punching somebody in the mouth. Let's get a veteran in there for the final stretch of the game to stabilize things a little bit and hold on to the lead. Let's get a win for the guys. Let's just get some good momentum, even though we're trying to tank. Nope. Al's not playing. Al is not playing again. He will never be playing for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And because of his contract where they can't buy him out, well, now you hope, or at least Al Horford hopes, that he's going to get dealt in the offseason. Now, this does bring about something that's a little bit interesting. Not exactly related. I mean, me and Graceffo have argued about how connected these two things are. I think if I'm going to describe it properly, it's sort of like a second or third cousin situation where, like, yeah, you're related, but really, what are you? You know? So, like, let's say third cousin. So here's what I've been thinking about. I've been thinking about load management, right? Because if you're looking at the NBA and you've got a team that is bad and wants to be bad, and they're getting one of their best players right now. Say what you will about Al Horford, and I've said some things. You look at him, he can play. He's an NBA player on some level. He shouldn't be in the league, period. So when you've got a guy like that, and you're telling him to go home to the point where it's not that he's just sitting on the bench and, wow, you know, we just brought in some young kids at the deadline. We just want to see what they look like. And Al's hanging in there. He's being a pro. Like, they just outright told him and announced to the world he's not going to sniff a second of the court. He shouldn't even bother thinking about it. So when you see a team do that as they tank and do it deliberately, and then on the other side of the spectrum, there is some griping and questioning and complaining. Because, well, star players can't sit out, right? These guys that, hey, they want load management. They don't want to play every single game. They don't want to play, I don't know, at this point, the Orlando Magic on a Thursday night in a back-to-back. They just don't care. That game doesn't matter. They don't need to play. But the NBA is very much against load management. They've been vocal about that. There's fines that are issued about it. They have made that some level of priority when before load management was running rampant. They decided we're going to correct the problem. This is what we're going to do. And so how do you make it so that you demand that star players play when they want to take a night off here and there for their own health, when at the same time you allow a tanking team, the competitive balance, the legitimacy of the product, when that's what your argument is to get those star players on the court, you're also arguing it's okay for a team to send one of their best players home indefinitely for the rest of the season, and that's it. It's a little awkward, right? It's a little bit, it's not exactly even. And so here's what you have to realize about this. Here's what, at the very least, I've realized about this. Al Horford doesn't matter enough. Andre Drummond doesn't matter enough. That's what it is. It's the NBA. They care about stars, right? I saw somebody, I think it was Darius Leonard, and I guess I should double check that if I'm throwing his name in there. But let's say somebody, because I might be wrong on that. But I saw somebody put out a tweet about Deshaun Watson, and it was crazy that, you know, all these people are judging him. And yeah, and it was Darius Leonard. So all these people are bashing Deshaun Watson and they don't know anything about him or the situation. They're jumping to conclusions. Why not say anything about Chad Wheeler? Chad Wheeler, who did almost kill somebody and was completely out of his mind and should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Why is Deshaun Watson getting more publicity, more airtime than a guy like Chad Wheeler? Well, Chad Wheeler's not a star, and ultimately, as much as you want equality in terms of coverage of things, star power matters and relevance matters and what gets clicks and all those different things, it matters. Deshaun Watson's a star quarterback in the NFL. His story is going to be more appealing to people. It will get more public interest. You will invest more time and resources into it. Nobody cares about a tackle from the Seahawks they haven't heard about before. And I don't mean that to belittle the victim or say that what he did doesn't matter. It does, and he should be prosecuted. But they're just not the same story. And for Al Horford to sit on the bench with the Oklahoma City Thunder, nobody really cares. Like, as much as you might have this discrepancy of like, hey, well, this isn't fair to the star players. You're forcing them to play. How is this guy sitting out for the rest of the year? Well, people care about Kawhi Leonard. And people are going to be benefit if they find out, oh, well, what happened? I'm sitting down. I've got my pop. I don't know if people like actually pop popcorn to watch a basketball game at home. Maybe you do. Maybe. I don't know. But you sit down on the couch. You got your snack of choice. And you go, oh, okay, well, they see they're playing the Thunder. Al Horford got traded there, didn't he? I wonder what Al's doing tonight. Oh, he's not playing? Oh, that's a shame. And then you live your life. You forget about it entirely. You don't think like, oh my God, if the Thunder had Al Horford, are they going to win this game? You know, like the star power matters. And I think as much as there's an incongruency, how's that for a nice fancy word? As much as there's an incongruency, it is what it is. Stars matter. Stars get treated differently. In this case, it impacts them in a negative way. They don't get load management. They don't get it anymore. They're too big a draw. People buy tickets to see them. They're wearing jerseys of these guys. They want to see them play. If they're healthy, they want to see them play. So it's business. That's what they do. If Al Horford or Andre Drummond or whoever, they're put out till the trade deadline or they're put out for the remainder of the season, how many stories are getting written? Really? How many people are going to dedicate a show to it? Nobody. There's been shows dedicated to load management all the time. How many times you turn on the radio when Kawhi's doing it or LeBron's coming out and saying, I don't need load management? Those things are like, oh, baby. Let me tell you, in the sports business, it's like, oh, baby, this is a show. Let's talk about load management for 8 hours. But no one's leading their show with Al Horford. Nobody. This isn't the top subject on any podcast. So stars are treated differently. And that's ultimately the moral of the story here. Now, if you want to get in and talk about it, 855-212-4227. Is it so fundamentally unfair to these superstars that they need to reevaluate everything that they're doing? Is this okay? Do you mind it as a growing trend? If more and more teams go, look, we're losing games. We don't want to play this guy. We don't think it's worth it. We want to trade him in the offseason. And he's sitting on the bench. If more teams do that, is that okay? Because that's where it's going. That's where it's going. And I'll say this. Al Horford's okay with it on some level. Hey, I'm getting paid. They were up front with me about it. So I'm not sitting on the bench and just asking, hey coach. Hey, coach. Put me in. Put me in. When can I get in? Hey, coach, second period. Hey, second quarter, come on. You know, you don't have to do it. They just tell them. They go, look, this is it. You can hang around, be as professional as you want. If you want to go home, go home. I think he's going to stick around. That's who Al Horford is. Great. Andre Drummond, same thing. Decide to stick around with his teammates, basically an extra coach on the bench. Great. They can do that. But this is where it's going now. This is a trend. The league, I doubt they clamp down on this. And unless it gets to a point where it gets out of control, I just don't see anything changing. Unless it gets to a point where somebody, because that's what happens, right? Somebody ruins it for everybody else. Somebody gets a little too, they go, oh, these are the rules. So let me just, you know, for example, okay, when I was in high school, there was a monster cheating ring in the one, and funny enough, the one religion class. There's a monster cheating ring. And what would happen is there was a kid that was a straight A student, just like super smart kid, top of the class, full scholarship, like that kind of kid. And he took that test in first period. And what do you know? He takes the test. He writes down all his answers on a little sheet of paper. Okay, this one's A, this one's B, this one's C, this is true, this isn't. And he would hold on to that sheet and it would get duplicated and it would get sent to other people in the following classes. And so it got to a point where I was getting mad because I knew everybody was doing it, but they hadn't been caught. And the curve was totally screwed up. The curve didn't exist because all of the dumb people or the people that just flat out didn't care, they got great grades. They were cheating off the smartest kid, you know? So they're doing incredibly well. And then the thing that blew it up, there was two things that blew it up. One was you had a kid that was, I mean, nice guy, dumb as rocks. And he walks up, he takes this test. We're sitting down. I'm in the same class as him. And the test, he's about 2 minutes in, okay? And he's done. He's done. Perfect score. 2 minutes. Not the kind of kid for that kind of experience. And you go, all right, something's off here. Then ultimately, because I might as well tell you the whole thing, it's hilarious. The teacher got wise to it because this kid had now ruined it for everybody. And what he did was he changed one question. And it was very simple. It was just, Jesus is A, like the giver, you know, B, he is the destroyer. And because of the test changing, he changed that question. He flipped the answer from the first period to the second period. All those kids who were getting the cheat sheet by default, not paying attention because it had already been blown. The whole thing had been blown. They were all writing that Jesus was the destroyer on a religion test. And they all got caught. They all got caught. And I was like, yes, thank God. But that's what it takes. So looking at the NBA, when you see an Andre Drummond and he's sitting on the bench and he's doing that for a long stretch of time because they just outright say, and it's fully reported and it's out in the open, that the Cavaliers do not care. They will not play him. It doesn't matter if he deserves NBA minutes. It doesn't matter if a contender wants him, like the Nets, like the Lakers, whoever he ends up playing for. It doesn't matter. We're going to leave him there. He's going to sit. And if they want to trade for him, great. If they don't, once it hits a deadline, fine, we'll buy him out. That's where the league's going. So how do you feel about that? Because on some level, it does feel dirty. But the truth is, it just doesn't matter enough for the league to do anything right now. They just don't care enough. It doesn't matter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.